today we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, as Pastor Dan was just telling the kids. And that was Jesus' favorite topic of conversation. He liked to talk about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, if you will, more than any other subject. Five times in the Gospel of John, he talks about it. 14 times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus talks about it. 32 times in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks about it. 42 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spoke of his Father's kingdom, where evil would be overcome and where followers would be redeemed. The kingdom of heaven is both here and yet we're still waiting. It's still coming. We can already see glimmers of God's justice and mercy emerging in the world, but we are still waiting for God's rule to be made complete at the end of the age. That's what we mean when we talk about the kingdom of God, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus had several parables to explain the kingdom of God. Jesus compared God's kingdom to yeast, which starts out really, really microscopically small, but then it gets so big in that loaf of bread. Jesus compared God's kingdom to a seed that grows not by human control, but by God's. Jesus compared God's kingdom to a net that catches all kinds of fish and then sorts them all out. Jesus compared God's kingdom to a party where everyone was invited, but only a few people showed up. Today's twin parables illustrate the joy of finding the kingdom and then the cost of discipleship. First, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to buried treasure. Second, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a rare pearl. Now, finding a great treasure is cause for celebration, and then you do whatever it takes to go and possess that treasure. That's the point today as we turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Hear the good news that is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. God's word. Point number one today is the joy of the kingdom. So the parables of Jesus, they often revolve around the joy of discovery. Have you noticed this? A lot of the parables of Jesus, they hinge on this emotion of joy when you find something that you've been looking for. Consider, for instance, the good shepherd who leaves the 99, right? And he goes out in search of the one lost sheep, right? When he finds that sheep, what happens? He gathers together all of his friends, he gathers together all of his neighbors, and he says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." And then immediately after, Jesus tells a parable about a woman who lost one of her 10 coins. It was really important to her. And she sweeps her floor and she cleans that house until she finds the missing coin. And then when she finds her coin, she invites all of her friends, she invites all of her neighbors, and she says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my missing coin." And then, the most famous of these lost parables in this rejoicing spirit is the parable of the prodigal son, right? This dad, this broken-hearted daddy, gets his prodigal son home. And he throws a party. He kills the fatted calf. He invites the whole neighborhood over for the celebration. And then he has to go outside and convince the older brother, no, this is a good thing. He says, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. Now, today's parable, these parables are about joy. Specifically, the joy we should experience when we discover the kingdom of God, when we discover the kingdom of heaven. Now, this poor man, he finds treasure buried in a field, right? He finds it, and he buries it again so no one will find it, and he rejoices, right? He's so happy about the treasure that he gleefully, happily sells everything he owns so he could go by that field and get the treasure. Or there's also the rich man, right? The pearl merchant. One pearl better than all the other pearls in the world. And he sells everything he owns. This rich man liquidates his assets for one pearl. He does it joyfully. He does it gleefully. The point of today's parable or parables is that we should be more enthusiastic than that about finding the kingdom of God. We should be more enthusiastic about finding the kingdom of God than we would be if we found the winning lottery ticket abandoned on the sidewalk. Can I assume we're not buying lottery tickets? Right, of course. Of course not. Of course not. We should be more enthusiastic about the kingdom of heaven than if we discovered that there was a gold mine in our backyard, right? That's the kind of joy we're supposed to experience when we believe in the kingdom of God. It is so much better than merely striking it rich. So why is it that Christians are not more joyful than anyone else, right? How come our faces don't show off the evidence of the kingdom of heaven at work in our lives? Well, first of all, as we've talked about before, joy is not the same thing as happiness, right? People of the kingdom still cry when their mothers die. Amen. People of the kingdom still grit their teeth when they are diagnosed with cancer. Amen. People of the kingdom get hurt and depressed and anxious like anyone else. And yet, we believe that the kingdom of God is coming. And in fact, is already at work in the world. And so, we can experience joyful confidence in the purposes of God even when things aren't going our way. That's the difference between joy and happiness. We have a confidence that God's purposes will be made complete at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 12 years ago, a poor Filipino fisherman had a remarkable catch. Did you read this news story? He was waiting out a storm, and the fisherman's anchor was snagged by a giant clamshell that they have there in the Philippines. So he dove into the water to set his boat free, and under the water, the fisherman found an enormous pearl inside the clamshell. It was the greatest pearl that has ever been discovered. The pearl is more than 2 feet long. The pearl is more than a foot wide. The pearl weighs 75 pounds. How would you like to dangle that around your neck, huh? Put that on a ring. The pearl is more than 170,000 carats. The pearl is worth between $100 and $130 million. The fisherman was totally unaware of the pearl's great value. So he took the pearl and he hid it under his bed for 10 years. Before he would go fishing, he liked to go and rub the pearl for good luck, that he might catch some fish that day. One day, the pearl ran out of luck, though, and his tiny fishing hut burned to the ground. The pearl survived without any problem. The fisherman decided, enough of this. I'm moving to another town. And he did not want to carry a 75-pound pearl with him on his tricycle as he moved to another town. So he went to a relative and said, here, can you hold on to this for me? I don't want to bring this with me where I go next. And his auntie had to explain to him, no, this is not something to hoard. This is not something to hide. This is something to show the whole wide world. This treasure is too good for you to keep it to yourself. And so now it's on display for everyone to see. I'd like to suggest for you today that a lot of Christians treat the kingdom of heaven the way that that Filipino fisherman treated his pearl. We are not joyful because we have no clue about the value of the kingdom of heaven. We are not joyful because we hoard a kingdom, a treasure that was meant for everyone. We are not joyful because we treat the kingdom of God like a lucky charm that we rub sometimes to get what we want, but not to govern our lives. We are not joyful because we treat the kingdom as something to be abandoned when we experience tragedy or the moment it becomes inconvenient. The kingdom of heaven is the greatest possible treasure. Jesus came to give us eternal life tomorrow and a better life today. The kingdom of heaven promises that God will ultimately defeat malaria and cancer and war and hunger and greed and racism and even death itself. And as we are waiting for that great and glorious day, we must commit ourselves to the reign of God that is already taking place in the world. Dr. King called it the beloved community. We're not there yet, are we? But we can be better tomorrow than we are today if people get on board with the reign of God. Now, we have a role in making this world a better place. Amen? We have a role. You don't make it happen, but you've got a role to play. Christians can experience joy in any circumstances because we know it is God's reign, not your reign, not my reign, but God's reign that is changing the world and making it a better place. And one day will redeem it from all evil. I say rejoice. Rejoice with me, sisters and brothers, because God's reign is over heaven and earth. It's here. And it's still coming. Point number two, the cost of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of heaven is priceless. Totally priceless, right? Way more than that silly pearl. On the one hand, the kingdom is so valuable, you can never earn it with your hard work, with your money, with your good behavior. You cannot earn the kingdom of God. This is the theme of Protestant preaching for about 500 years. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Amen then. Okay, good. There's another hand. It's over here. On the other hand, the kingdom of heaven demands your undivided attention. You can only participate in the kingdom of God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's the only way you can get this kingdom. Now, the kingdom is totally free, and it demands your entire life. We just heard about the joy of finding the kingdom. Now, we're going to hear what the kingdom demands out of us. Now, Jesus was very clear about the cost of discipleship, right? We know this. You've read the Bible before. You know that there is a cost of discipleship. Jesus, he tells another parable, right, about a man, and he wanted to build a tower. And Jesus said, oh, he better count the cost before he starts building that tower, or everyone's going to make fun of him for not knowing how much it was going to cost. And then Jesus talked about a king, and he wanted to start a war. And Jesus said, oh, he better count his own soldiers. He better count the enemies before he declares war. You better count the cost before you take a course of action. And that includes participating in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus, he used very strong language to describe the kind of devotion he was looking for. I have very rarely heard sermons on the line I'm about to quote from Luke 14:26-27. This is the thing that upsets mothers everywhere. Dads too, but mostly moms. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. For whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let me be clear. Jesus is not wanting you to hate your mothers, okay? Amen? Amen. If I can't get an amen for that, I don't know what I can get an amen. Can I get an amen for that, please? Amen. Jesus is not saying he wants you to hate mom, or he wants you to hate dad. That does not literally happen too often, just as you do not literally go to the cross too often. Anyone had to go to the cross this week, literally? Okay, look, Jesus is using hyperbole, okay? But he's making a point, isn't he? He's saying, if the kingdom of God is not the most important thing in your life, you will miss it. As long as someone or something is more important than the kingdom of God, you are going to miss it. I have never literally carried a cross. I have never literally hated my mom. But the point is that the kingdom of God needs to be the most important part of our lives, or we will miss the treasure completely. Does that make sense? Did I explain that to you? Good. Thank God. I say to you that many Christians would prefer just a taste of the kingdom of heaven. We don't want the whole enchilada. We want to leave room for all the delicious side dishes. We want to have our flan and eat it too, right? Absolutely. We know we want to taste it, but we have all this other good stuff in our lives too. And the parable of the buried treasure. This poor man, he sells everything to go get the kingdom. Complete and utter devotion. The pearl merchant, he sells everything he has in order to get that one singular pearl. Complete and utter devotion. In the same way, Jesus is saying, no, no, no. You have to be willing to give up everything, everything to get this kingdom of heaven. Now, there is treasure hiding in the Rocky Mountains. Are you aware of this? Oh, yeah. In the 1,000-mile stretch between Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the Canadian border, there is a treasure chest containing $5 million worth of buried treasure, at least. That's what Forrest Fenn promises. That 87-year-old art dealer, retired fighter pilot, claims to have hidden a 40-pound chest filled with coins, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, and gold nuggets as big as chicken eggs. Sound good? Did I get your attention? After a cancer scare, Forrest Fenn decided to launch this massive scavenger hunt. It was 2010. The subprime mortgage crisis was coming to an end, but we were entering a recession. And Fenn claims, we were going into a recession, and a lot of people were losing their jobs, and despair was written all over the headlines. I just wanted to give people some hope. Fenn said he was also looking for something to get kids outside camping instead of inside playing video games. Noble goals, right? Fenn wrote a poem with 9 clues to lead hunters to his treasure's chest. And Fenn estimates that more than 350,000 people have joined the search for Fenn's treasure. He gets about 100 emails a day begging for just one more clue. He had to call the FBI because one person kept bugging him, threatening to take his life if he didn't say right now where the secret treasure was buried. A lot of people have been searching, and at least four people, have died looking for Fenn's treasure, lost their lives looking for this stuff. You have to admire their commitment to finding this treasure, but what a terrible price to pay for golden baubles and sparkling jewels, right? To lose your life for something you're not going to take with you. Now, Fenn's treasure, it's absolutely free, right? Anyone can go and get it tomorrow. And yet, Fenn's treasure demands that you give up your whole life in order to go find it. It's a lot like the kingdom of heaven. God's grace is absolutely free, and yet Christian discipleship demands our complete devotion. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to buried treasure and to a precious pearl, because the Lord knows that wealth grabs our attention. We like shiny things. We like sudden windfalls of cash that we did not earn. Jesus knew this, and Jesus took full advantage of that part of our being to say, and the kingdom of heaven is so much better. Because this is a treasure that lasts forever. This is a treasure that you can take with you. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Jesus is asking you to bring the same enthusiasm that we would bring for finding a giant pearl, for finding some buried treasure, to the kingdom of God. You can only hoard gold and jewels for just a little while, but the purposes of God are forever. So rejoice, because the kingdom of God is worth more than all the gold in the world, and so commit, because the kingdom of heaven demands your entire life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, and all the shiny treasures there are to behold, as your Son has taught us, grant that we might avoid the distractions of worldly wealth. Help us to rejoice over your kingdom. Help us to commit to your kingdom. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might reflect the complete joy and the complete devotion that mark the kingdom of heaven. Amen.